Good morning. How are you all doing today? Good, good. I am not sure how I'm going to get through today. Matt, you have a sermon in your pocket. Maybe. You can just preach in this one if you want. I'll get there, I promise. Give me just a second. I just want to thank you all this morning for being a part of my family's journey. When I was called at 15, when God said, you will, to the plea of my heart to follow after him, I never could have known where that you will would lead me. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. And so every step of the way, Chad and I both had to take a spiritual gifts test. And just in this last month, it's funny, we had to do that. It wasn't of our own choosing. We were told we had to. And so for a process that I'll tell you about in just a minute. But we had to take it. And both of us, our number one strength was faith. Our number one gift. And it's been so cool to watch as God has opened doors and we've taken steps of faith. And he has just led us right where he's wanted us to be all along. I was telling somebody about our adoption this weekend, about Hattie, and I said, the adoption, for Hattie's adoption cost, at that time, I was working for a nonprofit organization raising all of our own support. I think I brought in, I don't know, $12,000, $15,000 a year. I mean, it was enough to, you know, just to make sure that we could afford what we needed to. And so we brought in some money each year for that. And the adoption cost for Hattie Jo was half of Chad's yearly salary. And 1 year from her adoption, it was all paid for. Like, I don't even know. I don't know how God does that. I don't know how he provides all of those things. But it seems like every step of the way, His provision is perfect, and his calling is perfect, and as we have stepped out in faith multiple times, he has been faithful to teach us new and important and vital things about who we are and who he wants us to be. And when Dave Lutz called in, I don't know, the beginning of September of last year, and said, you know, would you be willing to drive 3 hours round trip to a church out in New Philadelphia, Ohio, and preach for them during the interim? We didn't even have to think twice. Like, yeah, for sure. We'll do it. We'll be there. No problem, you know. We've just tried to live our lives in faith and stepping out when he asked us to, when he opens doors, trying to be Jesus. And when I came here in September, my whole journey has been crazy. When Chad, I had come back from a mission trip in college, and I'd spoken in front of my church in Oak Hill, West Virginia, and I got done, and Chad said, "Are you sure God hasn't called you to be a preacher?" And I laughed at him. I told him that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in my life. I said, absolutely not. I'm not called to preach. And up until September of last year, if anybody would have said, "Are you called to be a pastor?" I would have said, absolutely not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, I can preach. I mean, that's fine. And I can teach, and that's fine. But to pastor God's people is a really big responsibility, and I just am not sure I'm cut out for that. And I continued to tell myself that, and through September and October and November and December of this year, God has broken down those walls and those belief systems that I had in place because of my own doing. And this last weekend, After a really crappy week, Matt, so I get you, right? I get you. My week from last Friday to this past Friday was probably the worst week I've had in years. I mean, it was just such a struggle, such a yuck. And we go into last Friday into an assessment for the North Central Ohio District Church of the Nazarene, where they decide whether or not you're prepared and ready to be ordained. And we had the amazing opportunity to work with the pastors from Bucyrus. And all throughout the weekend, God just chiseled at our hearts and chiseled at our hearts and chiseled at our hearts. And we walked out of it going, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Like, what are we waiting for? Some crazy sign beyond what God has already given us? And because you've allowed me to be in this place, God has chiseled away at who I believed I was and who I couldn't be, and has placed a calling on our hearts and lives. And I don't know where to lead. I don't know where we'll end up. I don't know where we'll go. And I don't know what timing God has, because His timing is always perfect. But I tell you this. You all have been the church to us. So thank you. Thank you for being Jesus. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. And we are so excited to see what He has next for you. I believe with all of my heart, the person that God is going to put in this place up here is going to feed your souls, is going to minister to your heart, is going to be called to pastor you. And your board is going to be given that discernment, and they are going to know. And when that person gets up here, you're going to know. And Chad and I and our family is going to pray with you, because we want the best. We want the best for you, because you have been the best to us. So thank you. Thank you for being Jesus to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much today. We thank you for your goodness and your love. And we thank you for the fact that you meet us right where we are. That you don't ever, ever, ever leave us where you find us, but you continue to draw us by your Holy Spirit into the perfect situation that you have for us. For you have called us and you have commissioned us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, today as we get into your word, I pray your word will get into us, that it will speak to us and it will feed our souls, and we will leave this place a people that are different because of your power and your love and your goodness. You are an amazing God, and we thank you for all that you do. We pray these things in your name this morning. Amen. In the beginning, we all know where it started, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1 tells us, I preached on it, I don't know, it's been a month ago. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we know that that was Jesus. And when we look at God as a holistic piece, as we look at God as an entirety, we believe as Christians that our God is triune, that He is three parts in one. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For a long time, I struggled with the fact that, you know, we look in the Old Testament and we go, okay, now where's the Holy Spirit hanging out back there? Because the New Testament, we see Him all the time. Acts on is all about the amazing work that the Holy Spirit is doing in and through the lives of God's people. So where is He? Where is the Holy Spirit? And this is what I learned. That the Spirit of the Lord came upon someone specifically when they were called for a task or ordained for an office. We have several judges. Othniel, Gideon, and Jephthah, they were all given the Holy Spirit. And why? Because God had given them a task to do. And whenever He gave them a task, He empowered them with His Holy Spirit so that they could go out and do the task that He had called them to. We also see an ordination that comes upon God's people. When Saul was crowned king, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And when David was anointed by Samuel, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And just as easily as it came, sometimes it went. When David was anointed as king, Saul lost that because he'd been living outside of the will of God. He kind of lost his mind. sort of went loco train. I mean, Saul was kind of a crazy dude anyways. And so whenever he went nuts, and he started losing that ability to connect with God, he lost that Holy Spirit empowerment that was within him. And when David slept with Bathsheba and sinned against God and sinned against his brother, his prayer was, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Let your Holy Spirit continue in my life and in my heart. In the New Testament, we see it in a very unique and different way. In John chapter 14, this is what Jesus told the disciples. John, if you want to look it up, you can. John 14:15. We don't have it on the board behind us, but Jesus told them, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one who will never, ever leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads into all truth, and the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now. And later, he will be in you. That word advocate that is used in here is also, it kind of is like the word counselor or lawyer. I talked about Hattie's adoption earlier and shared with you a little bit over at Thanksgiving about that as well. But that's the only time in our lives we've ever had to have a lawyer. I won't ask for a raise of hands if who in here has had to consult a lawyer. usually, when you have to get a lawyer, it's not for a situation that is good or beneficial. This lawyer is supposed to have your back. He's supposed to take your side, make sure that everything works according to what benefits you as the person who is hired as a lawyer. We had an amazing lawyer through the process of adopting Hattie Jo. And I tell you, one of the hardest stretches of my life, I mean, leading up to that adoption was tough because at any point, Hattie Jo's birth mom could have changed her mind and said, no, I want to keep her. And so that struggle was hard. And we just had to believe that God was going to work those things out. But our lawyer really, really became an advocate for us after Hattie was born. Usually in the state of Ohio, there's a 72-hour period of time after the child is born that the birth mother can change her mind. Well, that's only if the lawyer can get a court date with the judge and they can get the paperwork signed off. Well, Hattie happened to be born about 72 hours before Thanksgiving Day. And so all of the courthouses were closed, and whenever they became closed for a couple of days, it just backlogged everything. And so a process that should have been 72 hours ended up taking 13 days. So for 13 days, at any point, this baby that we had at our home and were loving and feeding and caring for and falling in love with, at any point, someone could have called and said, "You have to take her back." That was so hard. That was such a hard situation. And during that time, I was on my phone with our lawyer at least every other day. He would call and he would ask questions and he would be negotiating things and making sure that the birth mom was feeling cared for because we had a really good relationship with her, and making sure that Hattie was okay because she wasn't legally ours at that point, you know. And so there were all these different pieces. He was an advocate for us and did an amazing job. He made sure that all along the way that we were cared for, that all of the legal things that we didn't necessarily want to think about because we just wanted to make sure that Hattie had a clean diaper and was fed and well taken care of, he took care of all of those legal law pieces so that we could focus on the things that we needed to focus on. And the Holy Spirit gets to be our counselor, our guide, our advocate. He works on our behalf. I think sometimes we get this idea that God is out to get us, right? Man, I really messed up. God's really out to get me now. That's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit comes to advocate for us. He comes to be empowered. He is our empowerment. And he is our connection with God. When we don't know how to pray or plead, he does that on our behalf. It's this amazing, powerful relationship that we get to experience. And in Acts chapter 1, We get to see it come in all of its glory. And this is what Jesus says as He is commissioning His disciples before He leaves. He said, "But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when He comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Matthew focuses on, whenever he tells us the same story in Matthew, this is what he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in my name. Go, be my people. But I'm not going to make you do it on your own. I'm going to give you a gift. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. And He is going to advocate for you. And He is going to empower you. And He is going to encourage you. And so as the disciples were all together on the day of Pentecost, they were meeting together in one place, all of the believers. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And when they looked, they saw flames or tongues of fire that appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit had given them ability. I look at this section, and as we're going to get ready, we are going to be in Corinthians, I promise. We're going to get there today, but as I look at this Corinthians passage and I think about this idea that we are to be the church, there is no being the church without the power of the Holy Spirit. In and of ourselves, we don't have the ability. We don't have the power. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the understanding. And we don't have the gifts that are necessary. The Holy Spirit is vital. And here's what I love. When Jesus came and when He left and when He gifted us with the Holy Spirit, there's a really cool thing that took place. And the connection for me just happened as I was preparing the sermon, and I love it. Here's the deal. Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came on someone when they were called for a task or ordained for an office. Now, the moment that we experience a saving grace of God our Father, when we ask Him into our lives to forgive us of our sin, that initial sanctification, cleansing of our lives, when we lay that here, the Holy Spirit fills us. You know why that happens? It happens because we've been called for a purpose. By being adopted as children of God's, we are automatically given a job. It happens with the saving power of God. That happens and we are called. We become children. We are on a mission. And what is that mission? To go into all the world. To preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. To baptize. To love. To disciple. To teach people about Jesus. So we get the Holy Spirit. We don't just get Him because it's a nice thing to have. It is. It's great. Except when you're doing something wrong and He begins telling you about those things. But for the most part, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is a phenomenal, amazing work in our hearts and lives. And this empowerment that takes place gives us the ability to follow after the commission that God has given each one of us. For us to be the church, we have to follow after the Holy Spirit's leading. We have to follow after Him with all that we are. And the church in Corinthians, as messed up and jacked up as their culture was, they had all kinds of things going on for them. One, there were multiple languages that were spoken all over the city of Corinth because it was a major hub. People were in and out of there all the time. And so that major hub attracted a melting pot of people from all over the Eastern realm. And as those people gathered in Corinth and they brought their diverse languages, they also brought their diverse belief systems. And they were constantly being exposed to idols. In 1 Corinthians, Paul calls them speechless. They're mute idols, ones that couldn't talk, couldn't empower them. And the people let their hearts waver. As they looked at this God that they couldn't see or hear or experience with their eyes or their hands, they began roaming off to worship idols that were lifeless. And I think we have the scripture behind us today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special ability the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same God, the God who works in different ways. But it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. And to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts, and He alone decides which gift a person should have. We talked the first of the year, whenever we were in John, about the power of words, about what they meant, about the fact that Jesus was called the Word, because there's something about the spoken word that is powerful. It's not something that you can take back. It's something that is in existence and it's alive. And so the Corinthians understood this. And as I was digging in here and going, okay, what does this all mean for us today? The one thing that caught me up was in verse 3 where it says, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, okay, so we can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And why would we want to curse Jesus in the first place? The Corinthians, as they were worshiping other idols, and as they what they understood and what they were practicing as the gift of tongues, oftentimes led them far astray from what God's original plan for them was. And in this plan, as they were speaking to one another, this is what Paul was saying to them. Whatever you do, whatever you speak, if you are speaking an untruth about Jesus, then your words are not of the Holy Spirit. I think oftentimes that we look at it and we go, man, we would never curse. You know, we'd never curse Jesus. That sounds insane. Why in the world would anybody do that? But what do you think it is in our lives whenever we decide to choose other things over Christ? When we come in this place and we lift up our hands and we praise His holy name for the amazing things that He has done. We thank Him for being our light and our guidance. And in this place we are living like Jesus is Lord. And then we cross through that threshold and live something else on the other side of those doors. It is very easy in our humanity to put other things above God. I have a very close, dear pastor friend, an amazing guy. And anybody that's in full-time ministry will tell you it is the best job in the world and the worst job in the world. It is a difficult and heavy burden to carry. And he told me once, he said, Rachel, He said, I have had an opportunity multiple times to go work for my dad and make easy six figures. He said, and I constantly have to fight that temptation in my life because I know money could easily become my God. As we were doing all of our testing this weekend for the assessments to look at ordination, I sat down with our middle son, Joel, and I said, hey, you want to know what it said about me? He's like, sure. I'm like, okay, here's what it says about my personality, that I'm a strong leader, that I believe hard in the things that I believe in, that sometimes I can be intimidating. He said, you're not intimidating. I said, that's good. And so all of these things that I could be, and I get down to the bottom and it says, this type of personality can easily be a workaholic, putting their job above everything else. Man, that'd be so easy for me. I love what I do, and it is never finished, right? It seems like as soon as you get a grasp on your work, on your job, you go, oh, look, you can handle everything you got. Let's just heap some more of that sucker on top of there. Or if you're very goal-driven, which I am, if you're very goal-driven and you go, man, but if I just worked a little bit harder, I could get to this place or I could do these things. And usually they're very kingdom-minded because that's kind of the way my brain works. But when I begin to put my job above God and above others, my job becomes my God. Some of it's our families. We love our children. I love my husband. But when I start putting my family above God, it's an idol. And here, even though in our lives we go, okay, well, I don't curse the name of Jesus. Yeah, but what does it say when you live one life in here and you live another one out there and you're not making God Lord? When you're not allowing Him to rule over you, you're pretty much saying to God, forget you. And you can put any word you want to in that forget spot. Forget you, God. I've got my own things. And how much worse could a curse be than to say, forget you. Forget you. There's something more important in my life. Those words are a powerful, powerful thing. But I've got good news. Those words also fall on the power of God's work in our lives. In Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. For everyone, you guys get that? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. There's no discrimination. And we have got this great hope that when we see lives transformed from here to the ends of the earth, when people call on the name of Jesus, they are immediately filled with the Holy Spirit and they are commissioned for a calling to take His name to the ends of the earth. And it's not just them, but guess what? We're going to hop back into last week real quick. When they are gifted with the Holy Spirit, they are gifted by the Holy Spirit. They are given abilities and desires according to God's will for us. And He said, your ability and your ability and your ability and the way the Spirit's working in you, you guys are all coming together. And you're going to make up the body of Christ. And guess what? You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to go and make disciples on your own. You don't have to baptize on your own. You don't have to be the church on your own. We get to do it together. We get to be the church. We get to be filled and commissioned by the Holy Spirit. And if we'll do it, we get to be a part of God's kingdom coming. The kingdom of God coming to earth, the great reconciliation that has been planned since the first sin occurred on the face of this earth. We're not just part of a mission the mission of NT Naz. We're not just part of the mission of the Church of the Nazarene. We are part of the Missio Dei, the mission of God. We are filled. We are empowered. We are strengthened as a body. We are more than conquerors. And God will see His kingdom come because we say yes. Because we say yes. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Call me. Empower me. Use me. That gift that You've set up in my heart and life, nurture that in me so that I can be everything I'm supposed to, so my part of the body is working in perfect order, so that whenever I come together with the entire body from sea to shining sea and to the ends of the earth, that it will happen as You say and as You desire, because You are God and I have allowed through my free will for God to work in me. Are we going to be the church? Are we going to allow that Spirit's work to take place in our heart and lives? Are we going to say goodbye to sinful nature and goodbye to the sin we choose and hello to the kingdom of God? Are we going to be that kind of people? Please stand. Heavenly Father, I thank You today, like I did before, that You're a God who doesn't leave us where You find us, that You grow in us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to be a people commissioned by You to live out the gifts You've given us, to live out being the body of Christ. God, I pray today when we leave this place that we won't step over that threshold. We won't step out those doors and live a different life, saying goodbye to the things that we learned today or that You spoke to our hearts. May we be forever changed by Your word. And I pray today, Lord, if there is anyone here who has never experienced that saving grace that You desire so desperately to offer them, that You will speak and churn and move and plead in their hearts and lives. And they come to that acceptance of You today. And they allow You to forgive them of their sins. Step off the throne and say, here You go, Jesus. You have it. You sit on the throne of my life. And for those of us that for a long time have been telling ourselves stories about what we can or cannot do, God, will You begin to use Your loving as sandpaper and rub off those rough edges of what we believe? And will You replace it with what You know is true, with Your Holy Spirit, with Your empowerment? I just want to be like You, Jesus. Will You help us to just be like You today? We love You and pray all of these things in Your name today. Amen. Our body has many parts, but God has put each part just where He wants it. Today, go be the church, be the body of Christ, and may God's kingdom come because we say yes. You are dismissed. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, we love being with you guys. Thank you so very much.
How long have you been down in that
room? We've been there for
Oh,
thank you so much.
I don't know exactly what it is, but